The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Evan Pushak is known professionally as the Nerd Writer. His videos on YouTube have racked up millions of views, dissecting a wide variety of topics from Shakespeare and Tarkovsky to Martin Luther King.
I am happy to join with you today.
Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech is arguably the most important and most well-known speech of the 20th century. It's 1,667 words and 17 minutes long, absolutely riddled with big, difficult terms.
But as the name he goes by suggests, the Nerd Writer goes very deep on pop culture as well. He'll talk, for example, about the debt that Bruno Mars owes to James Brown.
If you want to understand why, at weddings across America and the world this year, thousands, probably millions of people will be lunging their pinky fingers over their heads, you have to go back to 1967.
Our producer, Gofan Emputubwele, is an avid consumer of video essays. And he talked with Pushak about this new genre of nonfiction born on the internet. Here's GoFam.
On YouTube, you are the Nerd Writer. How did you end up here? And were you always sort of a very studious learner type?
No, I wasn't. In high school, I definitely wasn't. I was sort of a kind of class clown. And I'm still really goofy. But even back then, I was obsessed with things that I didn't connect to education. I was obsessed with Superman and comic books and things like that. But in college and after college, I became really frustrated with this feeling of not understanding what I believe and think about things. I think at some point in your life, you want to have a sense of who you are. The Nerd Writer and the book are ways of expressing and understanding and working out the things that I believe.
So I want to us to look at one of your video essays together.
Okay.
And actually, it's an essay. You write about the same topic, or you write about the same universe in your book, that universe being Lord of the Rings. And the video essay you have is about Gandalf. Gandalf, for those who don't know, is a magician, the better Dumbledore, among other accolades.
Careful with that. You're going to anger a lot of people.
I'm willing to die on that hill. The video essay is about Gandalf's eyes.
In The Lord of the Rings, Ian McKellen's eyes, in particular, carry a heavy load. Gandalf is the moral center of the story. He's also the one who understands the significance of events in the broadest sweep. This means that Gandalf has to broadcast a whole lot of story information to the audience.
The ring has awoken. It's heard its master's call.
Okay, I have so much to say about this.
Great.
Okay, so we're talking about the difference between the written essay and the video essay. And I don't think I could have done this in a written essay with anywhere near the same justice.
Describe an instance of Gandalf's eyes and his acting in Lord of the Rings that's really meaningful to you? Like, what is it that you feel in your body when you watch that part?
So the one that comes to mind is when he's sitting with Pippin in the upper levels of Minas Tirith at the end of the Battle of Pelennor Fields in the third movie, where it's all this war.
And I'm just going to translate. Gandalf is with another character. They're in a castle. Yes. The movie's over, almost over.
Okay. So he's sitting there with Pippin. A battle's raging outside these doors. And there's this moment of quiet and silence where Pippin is feeling despair about the chances. And he says, I can't believe it's the end. And Gandalf says, no, it's not going to be the end. Death, if death comes, is only another path, a path we all must take. And he describes what's sort of on the other side of this veil of death. And in describing it, what he does is move his eyes just ever so slightly over and up and into the distance, as if he's looking through the veil of death to the far green country that he's describing. And as a viewer, what I'm feeling is that I'm seeing this thing he's describing. When I'm just looking at his face, specifically, I'm just looking at his eyes. And I'm getting that emotion of...
Let me try to describe this.
So in the book, I describe that I am not religious. I'm a non-believer. I don't believe there's life after death. But when Gandalf is describing this, these rolling hills and this far green country, this sort of vision of heaven, I sort of feel and believe it, that when you're inside a fantasy world, Ian McKellen, his eyes are bringing me to that place. They are immersing me in a story, showing me something I can't see on screen, and making me believe something that I don't actually really believe in the real world.
In the Gandalf video, it seems like you're trying to convey the same awe that you feel to us as viewers, like in the video essay. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I want to communicate, the experience I'm having. I'm sort of obsessed with matching content with form. And so from the beginning of The Nerd Writer, I've been trying to figure out what is YouTube good at specifically? Like, what are its strengths and weakness? What sets it apart from TV or books or podcasts or whatever?
Yeah. So what is YouTube good at?
So I think YouTube is attracted to breaking things down. It's a lot of the classic Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message. He was talking about movies, how movies in the theater, it's a very passive experience because you are sitting there in the dark and these giant images are washing over you. And it's high def and you're just kind of passively engaging with it. Then that compared to that TV, you're sitting in your home, the lights are on, the windows are open, things are happening, you have the remote in your hand. It is a more active, engaged environment.
With Kobe up on him. The whole bag of tricks.
McLuhan said that TV was really good at showing processes, which is why you get something like instant replay in sports. Because we're just as interested in seeing the process of the play as the result of it.
Kobe at the line after being fouled by Pippen and rattling it home.
So when you slow time to examine the catch from multiple angles, it's a way of participating in that image. And TV is a participatory medium. I think YouTube takes that even further and is even more obsessed with processes. And that's a function of the ways we interact with it. So you're sitting at the computer, holding your phone, you're scrubbing through the video, you're double tapping to rewind or changing the speed or whatever. Showing the process of something is really satisfying. The things I'm trying to describe or understand with my videos are the ways that those pieces of art or those pieces of information or ideas made me feel. Like I felt some kind of awe or some kind of arresting emotion about this. There's a famous Virginia Woolf quote. She was an extraordinary essayist, of course. And she said that an essay should lay us under a spell with its first word, and we should only wake refreshed with its last. And so that idea of putting you under a spell is part of my aim as someone who's making videos.
One of the things that, as I've been reflecting like a bit on video essays, I think one of the things that draws me to them is that it feels like, I think that if you grow up on the internet, so millennials and younger, you are receiving videos all the time. You're receiving videos like constantly, like funny videos, all kinds of videos. And I think that there's something about the video essay and the video essayists that I follow where it feels like, I get sort of meditative reflection. Because I live on the internet, that's the place where I can get like a meditative thought.
Yeah. And I actually think what you're describing is, what do people come to the essay for, period? Mm. Like the written essay.
Go there. Do it. Tell me. So,
the essay is not a treatise. It's not a term paper. It's not something systematically covering everything about a subject. It is an inquiry. It is thought articulated in one case in prose, in this case in audiovisual medium. You don't come to the essay to necessarily become an expert on something. You come to it because you want to see thought articulated. The cool thing about the video essay is that you are seeing these people's thoughts articulated with a whole new toolbox. And the ones who use the specific toolbox of the medium that they're working in are the ones that I am most interested in.
Evan Pushak, who's known on YouTube as the Nerd Writer, his new book is called Escape into Meaning, and he spoke with the Radio Air's Gofan and Putubwele.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.